Hello, everybody, and welcome to the seventh, yup, count it, seventh episode of Collegeville Conversation. Now, with the NBA back, we have quite a lot to talk about in this episode. Let's get right into it. So the first part of this episode that I wanted to cover with the NBA was mainly the first week of it, to start off. And I'm going to start off with, well, first of all, the NBA, it's been doing a great job pulling off the comeback. And the fact that all 364 players have tested negative for the coronavirus and there's no cases so far, knock on wood, it's just fantastic. And it's a really testament to how well run the league is by Adam Silver. And I think Adam Silver is the best commissioner in all of the four major sports, arguably. He's just so progressive, so he's very smart, and he's just been handling this whole thing well. And the bubble environment, it's been working like a charm. And so anyways, with the first week of how the NBA went, let's go with the teams that looked really good to start off. The Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors, they got off to a very hot start. They had the toughest schedule. And, you know, they got the Lakers early, and they did end up beating them, and which is what they were handed very early on with the toughest schedule. That just shows that how deep that team actually is. People think that with Kawhi gone, that they weren't going to be as good as they were last year. Which, losing a superstar like Kawhi Leonard, it's definitely going to hurt your team a little bit. But that Raptors team is just so deep with Fred VanVleet, Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, OG Anunoby, and so many others. It's amazing. And they got a great head coach with Nick Nurse, too. I think Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He's a Coach of the Year finalist, too. And that organization is just one of the most well-run organizations in the NBA. And I think the Raptors, they do look good. And early to start off, the Pacers had three straight wins, not to mention TJ Warren coming off with a very, very hot start with a 53-point game against the Philadelphia 76ers. And with that, the Pacers did end up gaining the 4 seed in the East. And I don't know, if Victor Oladipo gets going as well, then the Pacers could be a very, very big threat in the East. Now, of course, the big story in the bubble was the Phoenix Suns and how hot they got off to I don't know. It's just, it sucks for them because they went 8-0 in the bubble and they didn't get to make the playoffs. That's not dissing the Memphis Grizzlies or the Portland Trailblazers. It's just, not only that, the Phoenix Suns, they haven't made the playoffs since 2010. And, you know, with them coming out of the woodworks with an 8-0 run, along with Devin Booker's game winner against the Clippers, it's just, you love sports stories like that of teams that haven't had many good fortune as of recently, and you root for those teams, you root for the underdog, and I, along with many others, hope to see the Suns in the playoffs based off that start. But, you know, that's sports, and, you know, the Suns, I think they're heading into the right direction with Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and DeAndre Ayton. But, yeah. Now, there also has been some contenders that looked very vulnerable in the bubble. Like, for example, the Lakers. The Lakers just looked shaky the whole time during the playoffs. But not to mention LeBron. He hasn't been in for a few games because of a groin injury. But Anthony Davis, he's been really good for the Lakers ever since getting there, as expected. And he's been scoring the most for the Lakers. And But I don't know. Both of them are going to have to carry the load. And it's not just LeBron and AD. Definitely the guys around them are going to have to pick up the slack too. Like Kuzma. Kuzma can pick up the slack. I know that. But yeah, that's just the whole team around them. Dwight Howard off the bench, which has proved to be a good signing for them. And Dwight Howard has embraced his role on the bench. And I think that's really, really valuable to a team's success, having a great bench and not a lot of egos on the team. Now, the loss of Avery Bradley, too, has definitely hurt them because he's one of their better defensive players. But, you know, Avery Bradley's just looking out for his family and not wanting to play because of the COVID-19 virus. And that's understandable. That's very understandable. But that just hurts the team. But it's very, very, very selfless of him to do that for his family. Now, the Bucks also looks pretty vulnerable Chris Middleton hasn't shot a basketball in a very long time, but that is very hard to tell because I thought he played very well in the bubble, and so did Giannis as well, but they just didn't string together as many W's as you would think. But at the end of the day, every team is really vulnerable. NBA players are humans just like you and I, but yeah. Now, teams that did not look good, obviously the teams that you would expect, the Wizards and the Kings. Now, I'll say this, the Wizards did not belong there. They only got in there because they were less than eight games out of the eighth seed. But that was the criteria to get into the bubble, really. And the Kings, I didn't think they had any shot to make the playoffs either. Now, a surprise team that didn't look good, or if you're a Sixers fan, unsurprising team that didn't look good. The Sixers did not. They don't play to their potential at all, really. And that goes back to the coach, Brett Brown. And obviously, the absence of Ben Simmons for the rest of the year is definitely going to hurt them. But it's been proven that Embiid can pick up the slack when Simmons is not on the floor, and Simmons can pick up the slack when Embiid's not on the floor. But, you know, now the other guys, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Matisse Thybulle, Shake Milton, Alec Burks, too. I like Alec Burks. He's been playing very well, shooting very well in the bubble. He's been shooting over 30% for three, which is what the Sixers need. The Sixers need all the shooting that they can get on that team. And Al Horford's just going to have to come up big defensively. So is Embiid. Yeah. The Sixers, to me, are a bit of a mystery. But we'll see if Brett Brown can pull it together. Let's see if the team as a whole can pull it together. But the Sixers just did not look too good in the bubble to me. Whenever they won, they just barely won. But, you know, they're my team. And I hope that they can do well with the rest of the tournament. So now, with the first week out of the way and all the other weeks with it, the playoffs are coming up now. The playoffs start tomorrow for the NBA. And so I wanted to go over all the playoff teams from each of the conferences. Starting in the East, we have the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, the Bucks in the regular season, they had the best record in the NBA. Obviously, the best record in the East. But there were a few games this year in their losses and in the bubble that they looked very vulnerable. Like, for example, Christmas Day against the Philadelphia 76ers, they got routed. They got blown out. And with the Bucks, you see, it's going to take more than Giannis and Middleton for them to carry them, you know, through the playoffs and hopefully get a title run, which they hope to get, and hopefully secure Giannis for the long run. Because Giannis is going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2021. And Giannis has said in the past, if Milwaukee's not a place where he can win, then he doesn't see himself staying there in the long run. And, you know, you're in the NBA to win. of course, obviously. And if Giannis wants to be the greatest of all time, which he has said he wanted to be, he has to win. You know, there's just nothing else to it. So yeah, with all the pieces that they have with Brooke Lopez, Kyle Korver, Dante DiVincenzo, Eric Bledsoe, it's going to be a team effort. Obviously, basketball is a team sport, and with that team, they have the pieces to do it. So we'll see how it goes for them. The Raptors, Toronto Raptors, they 7-1 in the bubble with the toughest schedule. That team is so well rounded to me. They're so deep with Siakam, Lowry, Van Vliet, Marcus Gasol, Anunoby, and that team is just so deep, so well-rounded. They really only lost Kawhi last year. And I think they're sleepers to repeat. They're definitely sleepers to come out of the East. They got a pretty easy path going through the East. They have the Brooklyn Nets in the first round, which I think the Raptors are definitely going to take. And it's just going to be interesting to see how far that they will go. I think that they have a chance to go pretty far, and they have the pieces to do it. Just like the Bucks. Now the Celtics, the third seed. It's going to be interesting what Tatum, Brown, and Kemba Walker do in the playoffs. The Celtics, they got one of the best coaches in the league in Brad Stevens. They also have Enes Kanter down low, which is a solid center, you know. He's pretty serviceable, which is what you ask for. They got a pretty fair level bench, I would say. But, you know, it's just going to be however they're going to go as far as those three that I mentioned, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kemba Walker, take them. Brad Stevens is very good at adjusting on the fly. That's what makes him one of the best coaches in the league. He can out-coach a lot of players. I mean, not a lot of players, a lot of coaches. And he's got a great basketball mind, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the Celtics can do. Now, the Pacers are an interesting case because they're the fourth seed in the East. And, you know, you wonder, can TJ Warren remain hot? Can Victor Oladipo get going in the playoffs? Can Domantas Sabonis even pick it up in the playoffs? The Pacers are a good, well-rounded team, I think. And, you know, they got a good matchup in the first round with the Heat. It's just the Pacers they're going to be a mystery team. They're going to be a pretty good sleeper team, I think. Don't count them out. Now, the Heat, the number 5 seed. I think they are a total sleeper to go far with the pieces that they have. They have Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo. There's just a lot of talent on this roster, along with Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches in the league. Personally, for me, he's a top 3 coach in the NBA right now. He's had sustained success, very good longevity in this league with what he's been given. Oh, and not to mention that they have Andre Iguodala coming off the bench, who is 36, but he's still very, very solid. He's definitely going to give you some good minutes. He'll definitely provide some leadership too, some veteran leadership. And just, you know, with Jimmy Butler, that dog mentality that he has, I really wish that he was still on the Sixers. Like, really, he was such an integral part in that playoff run with the Sixers last year. Without him, honestly, I don't even think that Raptors series would have gone to 7 games without him. You know, he's just got that dog mentality. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And his leadership, along with Iguodala's, and also Tyler Hero's, Duncan Robinson's shooting, along with Bam Adebayo's toughness down low, the Heat, I think they're going to they're a sleeper to make the Eastern Conference Finals, in my opinion. So do not count them out. Now, the number six seed, the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are a huge, huge mystery. They're with Ben Simmons out for the season, they're really only going to be as effective and go as far as Joel Embiid can take them. Now, Embiid has to step up huge in these playoffs. He can do that too. He can carry. I think he can. But don't forget, the Sixers also have a lot of other great pieces around him, like Tobias Harris, Al Horford, Matisse Thybulle, that I've mentioned so many times throughout this episode already. So, but then again, also they have Brett Brown as their head coach. And just his coaching is going to take them so far. And it can only take them so far. But, you know, it's all, Embiid's just going to be the anchor throughout that whole thing. So there's a lot of talent in the East so far. But let's get to the bottom two seeds. Number seven seed, the Brooklyn Nets. They have a matchup with the Toronto Raptors. But then again, with no Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant is obviously didn't return for the bubble to recover from his injury, and now they have no Spencer Dinwiddie. The Nets, I think they would at least take a game against the Raptors, but I don't see them doing anything else, really. They don't have the star power going into the playoffs. But, you know, you never know. I think that they will take a game against the Raptors, but not much else. The eighth seed, the Magic, first round exit. You know, there's no other way to put it. They're Aaron Gordon, you know, the Magic, they're just not as talented as the Milwaukee Bucks by a long shot. And technically, they have home court advantage, technically, if you want to think that way. But, you know, I don't see the Magic really being effective at all. And I don't think really a lot of people do either. Now, with the Western Conference, the West, the number one seed, the Lakers. They were a little shaky in the bubble, but you can't really base that off of anything. They've been one of the more dominant teams throughout the whole season. And, you know, with LeBron and AD, obviously the best tandem in the league, the best best duo in the league, and also with everything else they have around him, like Dwight Howard, Kyle Kuzma, when Kuzma wants to show up. You know, the Lakers are my personal favorite to win the finals. That's who I think they're going to go far. Playoff LeBron. You can never count out a LeBron James-led team. You know, you just can't do it. Now, the number two seed, the Clippers. I think it's inevitable that they will face the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. You know, the talent on that team, they're another great, well-rounded team, such as Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell. It's just a squad, you know. They're a really good team. They're definitely going to go far. It's inevitable they're going to go to the Western Conference Finals. They're a great defensive team, too, with Kawhi, Paul George as great two-way players, and Patrick Beverley, who was a dog on defense, you know. But, yeah, and they also got a very, very great coach in Doc Rivers, who is one of my top three coaches in the league. Now, the Nuggets are an interesting case, the number three seed. They have Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Everyone knows those two stars about them. Jokic, arguably a top two center in the league. He is, definitely. No center can really pass like he can in the league. No center can really do what he can in this league. And, you know, people forget that the Nuggets also have Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap, he's not in his prime anymore, but he can still definitely deliver some great minutes. and he definitely still can contribute to a team. But yeah, and Mike Malone is definitely a good coach in this league. And yeah, but they'll go as far as Jokic and Murray will take them, along with Gary Harris. That's another great piece that they have. Now, the number four seed, the Houston Rockets. I think Harden and Westbrook will definitely go far in the playoffs, you know? There's really, really no way that they don't, in my opinion. Mike D'Antoni, their head coach, is in a contract year. And, you know, he hasn't given any indication that he's going to resign. But, you know, that with, especially with the pieces that Westbrook and Harden have around them, like Eric Gordon, but then again, they're starting PJ Tucker at center. They got a small ball lineup, but it's proven to be pretty effective. You know, Harden can give you 50 on any given night. You know, that's just how insane he is, and I think he's being disrespected as an MVP candidate. You know, people only think about LeBron and Giannis this season, and rightfully so, but you know, they're disrespecting Harden too as an MVP candidate who has averaged 33 points per game this year. But yeah, he's one of the best scorers of all time, and he can give you 50 on any given night if he wanted to. And you obviously know Westbrook is going to bring the intensity and the heart that he has. He wants that ring. Him and Harden both want those rings very very much. It's going to define their careers if they got them. And yeah, Mike D'Antoni is a very great coach, and he's gonna take them far. Now, the fifth seed, the Thunder, Oklahoma City Thunder. They've shocked us all already all season. Now, let's see if they can continue it in the playoffs. They got the great pieces, too. They also have a great coach. A lot of great coaches in this league. They got Billy Donovan. They also got the leadership of Chris Paul. They got the young talent of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They also have Steven Adams, who's one of the most underrated players in the league. I cannot stress that enough. He's always been so underrated. But yeah, never do not count out the Thunder. You know, before the season, they were given a 0.2 chance to make the playoffs, and now they're the fifth seed in the West. So yeah, do not count out the Oklahoma City Thunder at all in the slightest. Now, the sixth seed, the Utah Jazz. I think the Jazz have a first-round matchup with the Denver Nuggets. I think that both teams are very evenly matched. I think they both have a pretty good amount of star power. The Nuggets with Murray and Jokic, and the Jazz with Gobert and Mitchell. Gobert obviously being one of the better defensive players in the league. And, you know, Mitchell being able to attack and score and shoot. I think that's going to be a great series. And the Jazz are just proof that there's a ton of talent out there in the West, with them being the sixth seed. Earlier on, they were the fourth seed at one point. And, you know, the Jazz have good pieces around Gobert and Mitchell as well, with Mike Conley, Bogdanovich, and you can't even say Joe Ingles with his scoring. But yeah, I think the Jazz have as good a shot as anybody in these playoffs. Now the seventh seed, the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks have a good matchup in the first round with the Clippers, and that shows you how stacked the Western Conference is. Now, the Mavericks, they have Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is going to be a force in this league for years upon years to come, I think. And him and Porzingis are still fairly young players. And the fact that Luka is only a second-year player and he's already doing what he's doing now, it's just a testament to how talented he is. And with Porzingis getting back to his form before he was injured, that duo, if they can be kept together, is going to be very, very, very scary for years to come. And they got the best owner in the league, Mark Cuban. He's very progressive, very involved. And, you know, the Mavericks are another very, very well-run organization. And they also have one of the best coaches in the league, Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle also led the Mavericks in 2011 to their first NBA championship title with Dirk Nowitzki. So, yeah, the Mavericks, they're in very, very good position in the future and now. Now, the eighth seed, the Portland Trail Blazers. They are not your typical eighth seed at all, obviously, with the talent that they have. They have Damian Lillard, who is another one that can give you 50 any given night if he wanted to. CJ McCollum, who can shoot the lights out of the ball. They also have veteran leadership, too, with those two and Carmelo Anthony. Now, Carmelo Anthony's comeback, he's been very, very good for the Portland Trail Blazers. And it's helped gain a few more years left in his career. It's just amazing how well he's been able to produce, despite the media doubting him, despite a lot of other people doubting him, before he even got the chance to come back onto the court. And it's just amazing what hard work can do. And Melo's always been a great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer to me. No question about it. You can debate it with me. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. No question. And it's great to have that on the Blazers. I think that Blazers-Lakers is going to be a heck of a series in the first round. That is just, it's going to be amazing to see what these playoffs turn out to be. Now, the last thing that I wanted to get into in this episode is a player who I think is going to have a huge impact on basketball and women's basketball for a long time, and that's Sabrina Ionescu. You know, the amount of talent that she has and her impact that she made at Oregon alone, becoming the first college basketball player with 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, and 1,000 rebounds in a career. That's just insane, you know. That speaks to the amount of talent that she has, and she very deservedly went number one overall in the WNBA draft to the New York Liberty. And, you know, in her first few games with the New York Liberty, she was pretty dominant and scoring over at least 20 points in each of them. And, you know, her dominance at Oregon was very present, and I think it's going to be very present for a long, long time. And she's going to boost the profile of women's basketball more than it already is. And I think that's a great thing for the game as a whole. And she's already been doing that already, you know. Her impact right now is just insane. And she's quickly climbed her way into one of my favorite athletes personally. And I'm just a big fan of hers. And she's going to continue to do great things. And so, you know, just be on the lookout for her if you haven't heard about her already. She's going to be great. Now, that's all I got for this episode of Collegeville Conversation. Now, the NBA playoffs are starting soon, so we'll have more content to talk about soon enough. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Tune in next Sunday for a new episode. As always, I am your host, Jason Phelan. Have a good one.